This is the Cubs Related Podcast, a special edition. The Cubs just acquired Jose Quintana for Eloy Jimenez, Dylan Cease, Matt Rose, and Bryant Fleet. Very shocking. I actually woke up to a text message from Evan Altman, who's actually with us on this podcast, editor-in-chief of Cubs Insider. I was shocked. I don't think any of us even thought this was possible, given that the whole cross-city trade scenario may not have been realistic based on the report. So I know I've been very shocked. I'm sure everyone else is very shocked. So this podcast will be focusing just on this trade and then where the Cubs rotation fits in with Quintana and where we go from here for the rest of the season. So let's just jump right into this. Evan, thoughts?
Yeah, so I was trying to wrap my head around this, like, from a couple different levels. And it's funny because, you know, inevitably, when you have at least a somewhat public presence, people really, like, take joy out of calling you out for things. So I had just last night, or depending on when you're listening to this, and, you know, Wednesday night, had written because we saw that Cease was scratched from his start in South Bend, and Jimenez was not in the lineup for Myrtle Beach. And so a lot of people are like, oh, what's going on? And I think I might have been one of the first people out there to mention that Cease had been scratched. That was, like, fairly early in the day. And a lot of people were kind of freaking out about it. And I had reached out to some folks I know throughout the organization, and nobody knew anything. Not, I don't mean they weren't saying anything. It was just what I got back was, you know, hey, Jimenez is just not, he's here. He's at the game. He's in the dugout. No big deal. And nobody knew about it. I mean, guys at CSN, Tony Andracki had posted on Twitter today. I didn't know until, you know, I got the news, until I saw the news come out. So, wow. I mean, the news was broken by the White Sox official team Twitter account. Ken Rosenthal quote tweeted the White Sox when he, I mean, this is Ken freaking Rosenthal. These guys break everything. Nobody, in fact, and people might have seen this, the news was actually broken, and people thought it was fake on Twitter. Or I'm sorry, on Reddit.
Yes, yeah,
by
that.
A user called Katy Perry's Booty Hole, who got the information from somebody named Wet Butt 23. I mean, this is, like, you can't, and I can't believe I'm actually saying this. They've had to say these Reddit usernames anyway. Long story short, they've just said I'm on TV. But long story short, nobody, we knew Quintana was going to be traded. We were very certain of that. We knew the Cubs were looking for pitchers. But not in my wildest dreams had I thought that these two teams would deal at this point for the players that were involved. And the fact that no one knew. Last year when it was Chapman, we heard there were all the scuttlebutt going on. Hey, Gleyber Torres was pulled from the lineup or was scratched. Hey, he's leaving the dugout. He's being taken back to the clubhouse. Oh, there's the stuff with Chapman. There's these things. Like, there was tons of smoke, and everybody knew what was happening. We were just waiting for the final word. This mm-hmm. was just out of the blue.
Yeah.
And for the Cubs to pull in one more funny story that I'll share on it. I won't take up the whole podcast with my further thoughts unless we get into that. But it was funny because I got home, and I was explaining this to my son, and I was telling him who they traded. And I said, you know, I'm Bryant Fleet. He's like, Bryant? I said, no. Bryant Fleet is his name. Bryant is his first name. Fleet is his last. So, you know, there was a noticeable freak out when he thought, but it was, you know, I guess in an ironic way, Theo Epstein had said today he didn't think the White Sox would go for a trade because last year when they inquired about Chris Sale, Rick Hahn told him it's got to include Chris Bryant if you want Sale, which, you know, was never going to happen. So, again, Theo's going into this thinking, okay, there's no way they're going to do this deal. They're going to ask for these guys. And, you know, it sounded like Jimenez was a sticking point. He said 100% it would not have gotten done without Jimenez and Cease. And I think the fact that it's four players makes it seem bigger than what it is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, realistically, like, the other two guys involved, you know, Matt Rose and Bryant Fleet, decent seasons. You know, Rose put up some homers. Batting average doesn't look good, but can play kind of the corners and whatnot, and Fleet's like a middle infielder, kind of light hitting, no power. I mean, these guys, again, when we're talking about this Cubs team, they're pretty well set at the infield for the next several years. Neither, I mean, those guys were just throw-ins. That I don't even think matters. And realistically, we're talking about a move that sets them up at a major position of need for years to come at a maximum. Even if they pick up both team options in 19 and 20, we're talking about like $34 million total for 3.5 years of a potential top two or three spot in your rotation, which is insanely cheap by today's standards. So, I mean, all things considered, I really, really like the move. There's a lot to give up, but it makes sense for where the Cubs are right now.
Yeah, I got a text from Corey after the trade went down. With all caps, controllable pitching, !! So, Corey, I'm assuming you're beyond thrilled to see this.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course. I think it's something that we were all realizing was basically becoming a necessity here. I don't think we were positive who it was going to be on either end, you know, whether it was going to be someone like Quintana or Archer or any of the other names that were thrown around, or that it would be Jimenez versus someone like Happ, Schwarber, you know, someone more at the MLB level. But, you know, as we had discussed on here before, this was just something that was becoming a necessity. They were going to have to get pitching this way. You know, you can't get young cost. You definitely can't get a pitcher who has been worth anything near Jose Quintana, which as, you know, oft mentioned on here, Matt Clapp tweeted out earlier today, since 2013, he's like the seventh most valuable pitcher in the entire MLB. You know, if you're looking at wins above replacement, you can't get that for, you know, $10 million or whatever they're paying him a year on the open market. You can't get anything close to that, you know. So we knew this is something that they were more than likely going to have to pull the trigger on. And, yeah, I mean, I'm happy. I think you have a guy that, like Evan said, you're slotting into the top of your rotation to fit right in with this window of other guys, you know, who come up in their contract, you know, around the 2020, 2021 area. And it also allows you, you know, when some of these guys come off the books at the end of the year, you know, when you're only paying someone like Quintana what you're paying him, you can use that money elsewhere, you know, to continue to add to the rotation or add depth on offense, whatever you need to do, because you're not strapped into this giant contract for this guy. So, yeah, you know, look, I don't think anybody's going to be, much like we weren't happy about losing Torres last summer, this stings, you know. And if you're someone that loves watching prospects and following these guys and, you know, is fond of extrapolating what you think their value could be to its highest levels, you know, yeah, of course, this stings. You know, I think a lot of us have imagined what Jimenez can be. This comes, you know, what, like a few weeks after he's literally knocking lights out in a stadium. So, like, I think the hyperbole is about as high as it can get right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the one thing that I wanted to make sure that I addressed was, because I've seen it a lot today, is that the Cubs are like selling the future or something along those lines, depleting the farm, things like that. Like, you got to remember that, like, most of this major league roster is the future. Like, that's kind of the whole point. You know, you have so many guys. I'm looking at the Sports Track contract list here, you know, and it's like a really large portion of this major league roster is cost controlled on this team and young through around that same window, if not a little longer than Jose Quintana. You know, you're talking Baez, Russell, Bryant, Rizzo, Contreras, Almora, Happ, like all these guys are the future. Like, just because they're on the major league team now doesn't mean that, you know, there is no more future. There are no more younger guys to pay attention to. So, yeah, it stings to lose Jimenez, but, you know, now you're looking at the rotation, which we talked about every episode. We talk about how miserable the rotation is, what they're going to do, what should they do with Lackey, what should they do with Butler, what should they do with this guy. And, you know, now you're looking at it today and you're like, wow, like, okay, you know, this, you know, we'll see how these guys come out of the break and whether Hendricks can come back and be healthy and whatnot. But I think you're looking at this going like, wow, you know, a top three right now of Lester, Quintana, and Kyle Hendricks, you know, is exciting.
And I mean, yeah, if Arrieta even rebounds too, you have yourself, I think, a better rotation than last year. Of course, Hendricks needs to come back and show that his velo is maybe a little better and that he's fully healthy. But I mean, this team, the rotation at least, as weird as it sounds, adding someone like Quintana could make them a better rotation than last year. And Jeff Sullivan of Fangraphs wrote a nice piece about how underrated Jose Quintana is and compared him to John Lester. And some of the stats were actually crazy. And I know we on Cubs Insider this morning posted a very similar article. But Quintana and Lester both have basically produced the same amount of WAR over the last 3 years. Quintana at 13.9, Lester at 13.4. Both average 6.3 innings per start. Both average 6.5% walks. And both throw 92 miles per hour. Both have the same home run per fly ball rate, basically. Both have the same strike percentage at 64%. I mean, it's almost very odd how both of them are like mirror images of one another, even though they go about getting batters out very differently, which we'll have on Cubs Insider as well. But I think, Corey, you kind of hit the right spot there with selling the farm for someone like Quintana. I don't think I know for a fact that's not necessarily true. And with Eloy being a corner outfielder, when he does get ready to play in the bigs, where are you going to play him? Are you going to move Schwarber? Are you going to move Hayward, who at this point seems like he's a very good bet to be in the Cubs for the next 6 years because he won't opt out? I mean, you have so many different options as a corner outfielder as is. So I don't know where Eloy would have slotted in. But I think a point of emphasis here is how the Cubs value Ian Happ, right? I know Corey and I, you were talking about maybe Happ even still being a trade target for other teams, and maybe the Cubs would still trade him this trade market season. And I think today sends a good note to us that Happ is probably going to be on his team for the immediate future and maybe in for the long-term future as well, especially because as it stands, there's really no clear-cut center fielder of the future for this team, with Elmore being a little volatile right now. So I think the Cubs play from their strength. They dealt one of the best hitters in the minors, no doubt, with Eloy. But there's a corner outfielder. If Eloy was a different position, maybe center field, I don't know if that would have happened, and maybe Happ would have been the odd man out. You just never know. But overall, I love the trade. I mean, you're basically paying Quintana nothing over the next 3.5 years to be John Lester 2.0. I don't see how you can't like it. But going forward, we have the rotation set up for the most part once Hendricks does get back. So the fifth spot of the rotation is going to go to either Mike Montgomery or John Lackey. Is it time? Do you think the Cubs will actually depart with Lackey, or do you think they'll just continue to get him the shot going forward?
If it's me, and I can't remember if we had discussed this on this podcast before, if it's me, I'm not doing it simply for the fact that I value my life too much to tell John Lackey that he's been DFA'd. But if you look at, and so like, this is one of the things that every once in a while I'll get a take, and then I'll just climb to the top of that hill with it, and I'm just going to fight people off until I die on said hill. And, you know, I had written early on that I completely feel that Mike Montgomery, all things considered, is more valuable in the bullpen right now. Now, maybe he develops this stuff. I am still not convinced of his consistent ability to get through lineups. Now, we could say the same thing, I guess, about any Cubs starter right now. But I do like him in the short stints. He generally tends to – he's got a great bunch of pitches, everything else. But anyway – having that lefty reliever, kind of the long man who can swing back and forth, I think can do that. Because if Lackey can put it together, and we've seen that he has been absolutely terrible. I mean, he's negative WAR on the season so far. He is, at least he's moved into a tie now. He's not alone at first, but 2.20 home runs per nine innings, would be the highest mark, tied with Jose Lima, and one of his later seasons with the highest mark ever posted
there, Jose Lima.
In a season. Yeah, that's like not a guy you want to be compared to. But Lackey was at 2.34, but three of his last four starts have been quality starts. So he is, you know, if that can continue, and I know the Cubs value kind of that veteran, grindy, you know, if he's your fifth starter now and you're able to slot Montgomery back in the pen, Butler's back at AAA as depth, I would assume, because I do not want a guy in my bullpen who can't strike anybody out and walks too many. To me, at this point, it makes sense. And maybe that changes, right? Maybe the Cubs look at that differently. But I just, for what they're paying Lackey and for what he's done historically, I think he's the guy that gets that spot.
You're going to kill Corey, I think.
Well, no, I mean, I was going to say that if I was guessing, you know, that I think that's what they do. And, you know, maybe they let Lackey out there, but you've got an eye on it with maybe a short leash, something along those lines. Like, if, you know, I mean, if he's going back out there and getting killed, I mean, eventually I think you have to make it, you know, you have to pull the Band-Aid off there, whether someone's life is at stake in the process, I don't know.
They would need more than Band-Aids if they tell Lackey that he's DFA'd.
But as we're talking about this, I'm thinking more specifically about the playoff rotation if the Cubs were to make the playoffs. And now I'm thinking more about how the season progresses. I don't think the Cubs even need Lackey. Like, think about it. Once the playoff starts, you're not going to throw him. He's not going to be in that rotation unless someone dies in the rotation. If Hendricks can't come back, or God forbid something happens to another one of the starters, he will not be thrown. He will be the Jason Hamill of the playoffs. And the fact is that the Cubs may not even make the, like, it sounds crazy, but they may not even make the playoffs this year. So why not give the team the best shot to win right now? And I think Montgomery does do that. Like, I know Lackey has had the success in the past, and I know he's a grizzly veteran. I know it's probably very, you know, frightening to tell a guy, especially Lackey, that you can't pitch with this team because he may kill you. But I think there's too much risk involved. I think when it comes down to it, you're making a decision between depth, and you're weighing that with the likelihood of Montgomery being better than Lackey. And I can see the argument with keeping Lackey solely for the purpose of having that depth, protecting your rotation in case someone goes down. But the other hand, if you want to win now and get into the playoffs, I'm not sure Lackey's the guy to go to. And especially, I don't know if the risk is worth it because he won't be pitching in the playoffs, right? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is, you know, it's a matter of, if nothing else, I think they would look at that. To me, I think they're going to err on the side of, if you look at what you have in Lackey and what that potential is over the remainder of the season, and perhaps he does get left off the playoff roster or what have you, but he's gone after this year, right? Which, on one hand, I guess we could also say that, you know, who cares if you piss him off because he's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. But in Montgomery, you've also got a piece, like, to me, like, Lackey doesn't go to the pen. There's nothing with Lackey. He's either in the rotation or he's gone off the roster. And so you're asking to make a very black and white start decision there. Whereas with someone like Montgomery, he's got the ability and he's shown a great ability to work at late in games, work as a swingman in long relief. You know, he could be a loogie. I mean, he could do all kinds of things. And so I think with his ability to be flexible, moving him into the bullpen maintains enough flexibility for the Cubs that they could still, you know, they can make those harder decisions later if they have to.
Yeah, I see.
But I don't think that's something they want to be pressed into right now.
So how many bat starts do you think it would take for the Cubs to just say, you know what, we're done with Lackey?
I mean, I think it depends on what everybody else does. You know, not that they would want to give up a loss every five games, but I mean, if everybody else all of a sudden is on fire and it's like, hey, he's getting you five or six innings, and even if he's getting shelled, he's eating the innings, and but you're going, you know, you're winning five out of six games, four out of five games, or what have you, then it's not that big a blemish. You're like, ah, screw it, he's not going to be on the playoff roster anyway. Whatever, let's kind of limp along with him. But I do think if he's got a couple more where he just kind of blows up and You know, we kind of see that Montero sort of thing where all of a sudden, and I think that's where it turns, right? And that's what we saw. Like, Montero's performance hadn't been good. He'd been okay at the plate, but then when it finally became public, and he was not a very liked figure in that clubhouse, but when that became public was when then it was time to go, right? And I don't think Lackey is a problem in the clubhouse. But if it got to that point, if he continues to question Joe Maddon, if he continues to question other guys, which we saw a little bit of in one of his earlier starts afterwards, when he's pulled earlier, knew what he would have liked, then we might see that, you know. But if he goes along to get along, I don't know, man. I think the rope is a little bit long in that case. But
odds of the Cubs acquiring another pitcher by the deadline, over or under 50%. Corey, I'll have you lead us off with this.
I mean, of any quality, I'd probably say over.
Okay,
how about
someone like a, I'm just going to throw the name out because I've been talking about him a lot, but like, let's say someone like a Kevin Gausman.
I really don't know. It's hard to get a read on exactly where their head's at. I guess I would take the over. I think that, you know, even though they just got one, this is still just a mission that they've been on, and it just certainly wouldn't surprise me to see them try on someone like that, you know. And yeah, Kevin Gausman's a name that is getting tossed around an awful lot, and we could, you know, as many people have said, just pull a good old fashioned jersey swap on Friday, so it makes things easy.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would agree with that. I would put it at over 50% that there's somebody out there, and it's, you know, I'm sure that'll raise even more cries of bleeding the farm system dry, but there's still so many guys they have, right? I mean, whether it's Candelario, you know, if they ended up making a deal with a backup catcher, because obviously Caratini is not a career backup type guy, you know, they have pieces that are very redundant that they can and should move, if for no other reason than for the sake of those very players, because Candelario is not going to get a shot to play on this team long-term over the next 5 years. See if there's somebody else that you can move, a couple people like a Gausman who's undervalued, and we know how it works when they trade for undervalued Orioles pitchers. So
so the Cubs were to trade for, let's just say, Kevin Gausman, I mean, that throws out Lackey indefinitely, right? You're not going to trade Gausman and put him in the bullpen, I would imagine. You trade for a starting pitcher, Lackey is either convinced that he's going to the bullpen, which I see that as a less than 1% chance of happening, or he's gone, right? So, I don't know. I guess for me, I'm going to go with the – I did say in our last podcast episode that I think the Cubs are going to acquire two pitchers at the deadline. So I'm going to say the over as well. I think – Evan, like you were saying, Candelario is kind of the clear-cut favorite to be traded. You know, there's so many other people in the system that you can see being dealt that are in the higher levels, like even like a Victor Caratini or Mark Zagunis with Candelario. You just never know. But yeah, I want to end this podcast off because I've seen it a lot on Twitter today. I think we as Cub fans have been accustomed to having one of the best farm systems in the league over the last several years. And it feels odd that right now the system feels a little depleted. But I just want to get both of your general thoughts on the state of the farm system, the state of the logic of what the Cubs are doing. I know Todd has a good post. Todd is another writer at Cubs Insider focusing on minor league stuff that it's really good. That's coming out soon. But is there any concern whatsoever about the future of the Cubs as it relates to the farm system?
I think there could be. I think the thing is, though, I keep going back to this. A farm system exists for one reason, and that is to make the major league club better. There are two ways that you do that. You promote minor leaguers who become solid major leaguers, or you trade minor leaguers for solid major leaguers. Consider that if we say their last five, we don't consider either the guys they drafted this year, the pitchers they just drafted. Their previous five first-round picks are on the active MLB roster.
and significant contributors for the most part.
Right. And I mean, you know, we could argue about whether Almora is playing enough or not, but I mean, obviously, like these guys are playing major roles. Now, we could talk about they haven't developed pitchers. They still have a bunch of young pitchers, all of whom are roughly on par with Cease. I know he's the more hyped one, but at what point, because those guys all came up, right, we say, hey, the minor leagues are depleted, but you've got five guys all under the age of 25 or thereabouts who are all locked up for the foreseeable future. And so you've got another 3, 4, 5 years before you realistically need to find any more impact players from your minors. You know, and Quintana is essentially, realistically, you traded two guys, not just for Jose Quintana, but for a super cheap, for his contract, which somebody else said earlier, I forget where I said that, which enables them to easily go out and spend pretty big on a free agent pitcher. So it's kind of like when they traded Starlin Castro to free up room to get Ben Zobrist. You didn't just trade Starlin Castro for a piece. You essentially traded him for that piece and Ben Zobrist. And so this trade actually opens the door for more in the future, which to me, again, it buys more time to restock the minors as they come up. You have to spend with something. You can't just hoard all of your money, and unless the roster expands to 35, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I would ditto pretty much that entire thing. I think you're right, Brendan. You know, this, we were conditioned to it. We were told by Theo basically from the outset that this is what was going to happen. You know, we were going to build through the system and we would follow along with these guys and they would eventually take us to where we wanted to be. And that is quite literally exactly what happened. And I think we've gone 33 whole minutes without really mentioning this. But that obviously comes to fruition when the Cubs win the World Series, which people tend to forget.
They won the World Series. That's correct.
Yes. And you know, like I said, the team, these prospects are on the team. And, you know, I know people are, I think, comforted by knowing that these players are constantly coming up and that there's always somebody that you can look to next. But, yeah, like this team has a window that's, you know, several years right now. And you're not, you know, this isn't like Chapman, where you're giving up a potential long-term player that you know, in many respects believe is going to be a star for just one season or just one chase at a championship. You know, they didn't just get Quintana for the second half of this season when they're 5.5 games out. They got a top of the rotation guy for, you know, until the year 2020. Right. And yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous to even say. I mean, it's really exciting. And while Quintana is not, you know, I think he's not the flashiest guy. He's not a guy that a lot of people, especially if you don't live in Chicago or watch the White Sox, you know, some people might not be familiar with him at all. They'll look and see that his ERA is in the fours this year. You'll have some people, prayers for them, that will look at his win-loss record, you know, and they're uninspired, right? But the numbers are what the numbers are. This guy is not Clayton Kershaw, but he is definitely one of the best pitchers in the league. And, you know, if you want to argue that, you can go ahead, but the numbers just don't agree with you. So, you know, I get where everybody's coming from on not wanting to move your top prospect, especially two summers in a row. And, you know, especially when now there aren't many, you know, or there's few guys who kind of like immediately come to mind now, like, oh, okay, all right, let's all focus on this guy now, right? And like, he's going to be our next. You know, I get where that comes from, but at a certain point, you can't always just be building for the future. It sounds cliche to say, but the future is now. They just won a championship. This team has won 97 and 103 games in the last two seasons. And yeah, you know, they're not in the best spot right now, but they just made a move today that doesn't only help them right now. And to echo the point that Evan just made, it also really frees up the future. You know, when you have someone like Arrieta, Lackey, some of these guys, you know, potentially Wade Davis or other guys who are coming off the books at the end of this year, you know, you're paying a top end of the rotation guy $10 million. Like that's unbelievable, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think we all wish that there were guys who we could, you know, be dreaming of. And, you know, like I said, when the guy's literally knocking out lights in stadiums, it's really easy to let your mind run wild about, like, what this guy can be. But, you know, at a certain point, you can't always just be cranking in these prospects. And it's also, you know, it kind of makes me think, too, about how fickle a lot of fans are with some of these guys, you know. Like, if they had brought Eloy up and he had had a similar situation to what Schwarber is dealing with, you know, then what, right? Do you give up on him after a year and a half or, you know, 3 months? Because, like, that's what's happening with a lot of these guys is people, you know, they've watched them for years and they're excited that they're here. And, you know, they have 2 months where they're not living up to, you know, that potential. And people are ready to send them down. They want to trade them. They've got a bad attitude. They're this, they're that. You know, and that's not to say that Jimenez would have gone that route. But it's just like at a certain point, you know, you can't always just be looking towards this abstract future, right? Like this team... Again, we're not only talking about just this year. So, like, you know, this team is in a window. It's got a lot of young talent. They have a ton of young talent on offense right now that isn't going anywhere. And, you know, we don't know what exactly the prices were. You know, what I you know, a lot of people will say, oh, I wish they had traded, you know, maybe someone who's already on the MLB roster instead of Jimenez. But we don't know what that would have gotten them. You know, it might not have gotten someone of Quintana's ability. I know I was reading today that I think Theo said that when they called about Chris Sale, when he was available, yeah, they asked for Chris Bryant straight up. Like, yeah. The conversation started with Chris Bryant. Like, so, you know, sometimes we don't really know 100% like what these prices are for some of these guys. And if this is the move, they've been looking for cost controlled pitching for forever. And if this was the move that it took to get it done, I'm fine with it.
Well, and just, you know, and I don't want to take this too long, but we heard Theo Epstein quite literally said back in May, and I've been posting this out there, and I've quoted it a couple times since, but he said, we need to add starting pitching depth, controlled starting pitching depth. This lineup will be hard to crack. We have a bunch of young players. We have a lot of depth and a lot of position players, a lot of players in the minors. We will need to deal minor league depth for a pitcher or maybe multiple pitchers. This wasn't like the Theo speak where you kind of have to decipher it. He very clearly told us what they were going to do. And people, I think, tend to, you know, they saw these rumors and people were even asking, like, oh, could the Cubs have traded Schwarber for Michael Fulmer? And it's like, no, this is the dumbest. Like, I don't even care if it's Kyle Schwarber right out of the World Series. You're not landing a sophomore year controlled through 2023 rookie of the year pitcher making $500,000 a year for the next few years for any single, unless it is Chris Bryant, right? I mean, you're talking a giant haul for something like that. And I think people are like, not, they don't really get what the value is for these guys. It's very interesting how people value players. It's like, you got to understand, man, the White Sox just took on four guys who we think two of them could be really good. They could all four flame out. None of them ever reached the majors. And so Quintana could make one start for the Cubs on Sunday, and the trade was better for the Cubs than it was for the White Sox if that happened. Mm-hmm. But I get kind of antsy in the pantsies when I see people like their values, they don't really project very well, you know, on how they understand how this thing works. Like the contract alone and what it means to them. Well, the contract alone was worth trading, but the contract and the player together, basically, that they got with Quintana is just, it's so fantastic for what the Cubs want to do moving forward.
3.5 baseball seasons. Like, that's crazy to even think about through 2020. So, I mean, look, here's your cost-controllable pitcher, a 28-year-old John Lester 2.0 type guy. It's pretty remarkable. And they did give up Eloy and Dylan Cease, but that's the market. That's what it costs, and they did it. But, Evan, I know we have some changes at Cubs Insider in terms of the site. So just to hype it up, what are we doing?
Yeah, so, I mean, it should be at some point tonight here. Hopefully I can finish up a couple of these drafts and get some stuff out there. But we're just going to change the look up a little bit. It's the same designer of the theme we've got currently, so it's not going to be this drastic overhaul, but definitely something I think is going to be a little bit cleaner, a little bit more robust just in terms of our capabilities. And the mobile site is going to be a little bit more functional. The desktop site, again, will be a little bit more crisp. You know, same features that you're used to on there, but overall, I think it'll be easier to search through and see some of the old posts, things like that. So you should see a little bit of a different look the next time you visit, and hopefully you visit early and often and click on everything and buy things through the banners so we all become filthy rich, and then we can give up this blog life and go live on an island somewhere.
So just to be clear, we're not going to all videos. That is just a rumor.
No, we are not going to pivot to video because that would severely hamper our efforts to hire Ken Rosenthal because he had to stop writing for Fox because of the pivot to video, and he can't write there anymore. So again, that would severely hamper our ability to hire national television reporters.
So you're saying I still have a role with Cubs Insider? I can still
for now. Until the next update, until we hire until I get fired for sexual harassment and then, like the guys at Fox, and then somebody else comes in and takes over. So
okay,
we've got like a week left. I'll give you the quick heads up.
Okay, so I got a
week. Put your best content out now.
If anyone's listening, I will be a free agent in 1 week. Me and Big Ken over there. So we come as a package if you wanna hire him. Cool. So yeah, that's it. Corey and I will be back on after the Baltimore series again. When big news happens like this, we'll jump right on. And, I mean, for all we know, we could be doing this again tomorrow if they do acquire another pitcher. So stay tuned. But you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes by searching Cubs Related. We are the first option that comes up. Please like, subscribe, comment, share this podcast with all your friends. It certainly does help. And if the Cubs don't make another big move, you will hear from us after the Baltimore series.